Reading from Jiva Dharma, chapter 19, Pramaya, Abhideya Tattva. Om Gyanatamarandasya Ananjana Shalakaya Daksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from the Sun Falls, Saibal Sun Falls. Okay. I'm having the good company of Jayadvaita Swami for a few weeks. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, who lives next door, and Satsarup Maharaj across the street. So we're studying Jiva Dharma, this wonderful novel by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where systematically all the tattvas or truths of Krishna consciousness are being explained. And we're learning them through the, of course, the story, Gojo and Dweep, great saints living there in their forest ashrams, and we're learning the tattvas as people who are coming with different doubts are being enlightened. And now we're just following the education of one former logician who becomes a devotee and takes initiation. His name is Vrajanath, and now his uncle. His family was opposed, but somehow he finds out that his uncle is interested in bhakti. So him and his uncle, they go and visit his guru, Babaji Maharaj. And they ask him about Abhideya Tattva. That means the means for realizing the absolute truth. I've mentioned this many times, but there's three divisions of philosophy that are comprehensive of all philosophy. You've probably heard it many times, but it is coming up here directly. There is Sambandha Gyan, metaphysics and epistemology. What is your description of reality, and what is your means, what is your proof that it's true? And then Abhideya Tattva, what is the means for realizing reality? And Piyojana, the goal or the result of doing so. So, through the questions of Vrajanath to Babaji Maharaj, the Dashamula was covered. 10 instructions that fulfill the whole gamut of Krishna consciousness. And most of them dealt with Sambandha Gyan, the first 8 questions. And in fact, Sambandha Gyan is 80% of the Shastra. It mentions in Bhakti Sandarbha that the term Siddho Pradesh, instructions that lead to perfection. And what that means is when you have a thorough understanding of the world, within it will be implied, practically speaking, the means to achieve it. Just like if you're looking for treasure and someone tells you where the treasure is, that's the real work. Then obviously that will imply that you dig for the treasure. But Abhideya, the means, or bhakti, bhakti is the means, because God is a person, and persons are only known, or beings are only known, when they reveal themselves, and one only reveals himself in relationship or love. So love, or bhakti, tvasmin parama prema rup, bhakti or devotion is the abhideya, the means of realizing the absolute truth. So this says, the chapter is prameya. There's two things, pramana and prameya. Prameya means what is to be known. Pramana means what is your evidence that it is true. So this is prameya, what is to be known. And sambandha is what is to be known. Or metaphysics, the conception of reality, the means of reality, and the goal. These are the things that are prameya, they're to be known. So we're up at the section of abhideya. And now remember, in the Dashamula, the 10 root instructions, 8 are sambandha. So this is the 9th, which is abhideya. We'll cover it for quite a while. And then the 10th is piyojana, which is priti, which is love. And love means the pleasure you feel when someone else is happy. Your happiness becomes their happiness. That is priti, or love. And to have that, that is the goal of life. So, he asks about abhideya, and he asks for the main characteristic of bhakti. And then here what happens is there is a, it's a wonderful how Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's going to the dialogue, the content of the dialogue is going to be a summary of the Nectar of Devotion, which systematically explains Abhideya Tattva. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Abhideya Tattva and Piyojana Tattva. It assumes Sambandha Gyan. It assumes the acceptance of Krishna as the Sambandha, and it assumes the Bhagavatam as the means of attesting that it is true. So, he asked about the characteristics of bhakti, and as you remember, there was a sarup lakshanam and a tatastha lakshanam. There was a core characteristic, and there was a refining characteristic. The core characteristic is that you want to please Krishna. That's the core characteristic of bhakti, that's in your heart. You want Krishna to be pleased. And therefore, your desires follow the will of Krishna. When you want to please someone, then your desires and your activities follow their desires. To love someone means to enter into their world. And the refining characteristics is there's no other desire in your heart. And your activities are not covered by karma or jnana, any personal desire to either enjoy material or spiritually. Jnana means to enjoy spiritually. It's not completely pure, because you want to be God by being the enjoyer, that's karma, or you want to be God by being everything, by being one with God. So these desires do not cover. And then what are the 6 characteristics of one who is practicing bhakti. At the stage of sadhana bhakti, it's kleshagni shubhada. It relieves you of all material distress and creates auspiciousness. The stage of bhava, it's sadulabha and moksha lagudakrit. When you reach bhava, when you actually have real emotion for Krishna, which is manifesting in your heart when you have petitioned the Lord's internal potency to touch your heart. And sadulabha, that's very difficult to attain. Very difficult to attain, because it's not just by practice. It's by attitude. So your practice has to be free from a personal attitude of anything else than the pleasure of Krishna. And God does not give that easy, because that level of love controls him naturally. God being the Supreme Person, he has love, and love means you're controlled by the desires of your beloved. And moksha lagudakrit, it makes the happiness of liberation insignificant. And then sandrandana visheshatma. The bliss is very, very condensed. Sandrandana visheshatma and Sri Krishna Karshani. It controls Krishna. So that was just a brief summary. That was just a brief summary. And now we'll go on with this dialogue. And Vijay, who's asking questions, if bhakti is so sublimely potent, why do those who study many shastras not to try to achieve it? Babaji, bhakti and Sri Krishna far beyond all material boundaries, so human intelligence cannot reach them because it is gross and limited. However, one can easily understand the essence of devotional service, bhakti tattva. He has developed even a slight taste by the influence of pious deeds accumulated in the past. No one of the most fortunate jivas can understand bhakti tattva. And this is going to be explained, that what is God and what is devotion? It's the will of God. And the will of God does not conform and is not subjugated by the laws in this world. It's like people ask, why is Krishna blue? If there is a reason why Krishna is blue, then he's not God, because there's something that is causing him. So why is Krishna blue? Because he wants to. So reality is Krishna's will. It's not subjugated by logic. So simply by studying many shastras, you don't have that understanding. It's something that's given to you by the will of God when he sees that you love him. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tvam yenamam upayanti te. One who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they can come back to me. So Vijaya says, why does material logic carry no weight? I explained it, but here's what Babaji says. Logic does not have the qualities necessary for understanding spiritual pleasures. It is said, Proktanyenaiva Suganhaya Preshta Katu Upanishads 1-9. My dearest Nikachiketa, it is not proper to use argument to destroy the wisdom of the absolute truth that you have received. Then it is also said, Tarko Pratishthanat, logic is useless for establishing any vastu, real substance, because one person established by logic and argument today, a more expert logician will refute it tomorrow. Vedanta Sutra 2.1.11. That is why it's said that logic carries no respect. All these statements of Vedanta establish that logic cannot explain spiritual matters. So it goes on endlessly, logic, with one subtle answer after another. And therefore, it has no ultimate bearing. Because it cannot reach to the absolute truth. Pantastu kota sata sambara bhat ayor atapi manaso muni pungavanam. Mind will not reach God. Because God is other dimensional. And that dimensional dimension can only be crossed by faith, by conviction. And faith in what? Faith in love. Deep faith means deep love. As your faith grows, what is actually growing is your experience of bhakti. And that's what faith is. My experience of bhakti thickens. And that attracts Krishna. Rajanath. Is there any stage of bhakti between sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti? Babaji, yes, certainly. There are three stages of development of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So there are three stages. In other places, it explains really there's two things. There's sadhana and sadhya. There's practice and the goal. But bhava is not practice. It's the budding state of prema ankur. But it's also not fully the goal. Because it's not fully prema. It's the difference between the sunlight and the sun. It's the same substance, but one is dense. So that density of bhav, the density of love, sandrangana vishesh, that's prema. So in that way, they say there's three stages. What are the characteristics of sadhana bhakti, Vrajanath asks. Babaji, bhakti is one. The differences are between the different stages of development. As long as bhakti is performed by the conditioned jiva, by means of the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti is the objective to please Krishna, so it is bhakti. So it is objective to have bhava, which means the feeling in the heart, which is Krishna's pleasure potency. So when you achieve that, that's the goal. But when you are attempting to do that with the senses, that's called sadhana bhakti. And bhava bhakti is the service, is by the mood. It's by an energy that you're offering back to Krishna, which you don't have yet at the platform of sadhana. It comes at the stage of bhava. So it's pleasing Krishna. It's his own energy which imbues your consciousness. That's called bhava bhakti. So until you have that, and it's just an offering of your mind, body, and words through the senses. They're both bhakti, because the intent of both is the pleasure of Krishna. But the ultimate pleasure of Krishna is his own pleasure potency. But he also is pleased when we're acting sincerely in heart for his pleasure, even if we're not yet imbued with the bhava. Babaji, nitya siddha bhava is not actually something to be gained. Oh, Rajanath, you have explained that prema bhakti is an eternally perfect mood, nitya siddha bhava. So why it is necessary to practice in order to attain such a sentiment that is always eternally perfect. Now, here it's going to mention that nitya siddhasya bhavasya is naturally inherent in the heart. And sometimes it's described as just the Lord's energy that's eternally present. It's not something that is created by you. It's either something that's given to you or awakened within you. It's not a practice that you're creating samskaras and more samskaras by practice until you're able, you have the configurations of samskaras in your mind that allowed you to do that, something which you didn't have when you began. You didn't have the fantastic musical ability. But you practiced and you recreated the samskaras in your mind and the connections in the mind and the chemical connections and whatever connection. You reordered your mind to have that talent. So in that sense, you created it. But bhava is nitya siddha bhava. It's eternally. So either eternally in that it's an energy of God that's existing, it's the essence of his bliss potency, or we can say it's the inherent mood in the heart that's awakened. And here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur seems to explain that it's eternally present in the heart. Babaji, nitya siddha bhava is not actually to something to be gained from elsewhere, sadhya. That is, it cannot be produced by sadhana. Sadhana is name given to the practice of manifesting bhava in the heart. So it's not actually produced in that sense, recreated. It's something that's awakened or attracted by our practice. As long as it is not manifested in the heart due to being covered, one will have to perform sadhana. In reality, this bhava is nitya siddha. It's eternally present in the heart. So that's a subtle difference between a practice where you create something that wasn't existing and a practice where something is bestowed upon you. That, you know, your practice may have attracted it, but you haven't earned it. Or you haven't created it. Rajanath, will you please explain this principle more elaborately? Certainly, prema bhakti is nitya siddha, eternally perfect, because it is a manifestation of Bhagavan's eternal shakti. But it is not evident in the heart of the conditioned jiva. Spiritual practice, sadhana, consists of the efforts of the body, mind, and speech to make it appear in the heart. As long as bhava is not actually present, attained during the period of sadhana, it is considered a sentiment that is achieved by practice. But its eternal perfection becomes evident as soon as it manifests in the heart. So when you have it, you realize it's not something created by you. Rajanath, what is the distinguishing characteristic feature of sadhana? Sadhana bhakti is any method that trains the mind to become Krishna conscious. How many kinds of sadhana bhakti are there? Babaji, there are two kinds, Vaidhi and Raganuga. Rajanath, what is Vaidhi bhakti? As you see, we'll be getting now into some very interesting subjects. The jiva's spiritual propensity is manifest in two ways. The regulations found in the codes of Shastra are called vidhi. And the inclination that has its origin in this vidhi is called vidhi pravitta, the tendency to follow Shastra. So you want to love Krishna, and you follow the Shastra, which gives you direction to do it. So your inspiration or your propensity is manifest by your faith in Shastra. Which is basically by your understanding. You want to love Krishna. Your goal is to love Krishna, and you have faith that the Shastra gives direction how to do so. And therefore, your practices are guided. And bhakti that is caused by the discipline of Shastra is called Vaidhi bhakti because it has its origin in this Vaidhi pravitti, the tendency to do what's right for the pleasure of God. Rajana, I will inquire about the characteristics of spontaneous attraction, raga, a little later. Now will you kindly describe the characteristics of vidhi? The Shastras, Babaji says, have prescribed regulated duties called vidhi and have prohibited certain forbidden activities, nishedha. The prescribed duty, vaidhi dharma, for the jiva is to follow all the regulations and avoid all the prohibited activities. Rajanath, from your explanation, it seems as Vaidhi Dharma consists of the rules and regulations of the Shastra. But the jivas of Kali Yuga are weak and short-lived, so they cannot study the prescriptions and prohibitions of all the Shastras and then ascertain Vaidhi Dharma. Do the Shastras indicate how we can determine Vaidhi and the shade rules it briefly and practically? So this is, you know, they used to be a rule-based society. And the rules were in tradition, they were in family, they were in culture, they were in, and the whole mood of the society was very, very supportive of that. But now we're in a society that has a different set of rules. And we're not born into families and traditions where they're highly visible. So, to follow vidhi becomes very, very difficult if that's your path. So how, he asked Prajanath, can we determine vidhi and the shade rules and regulations briefly and practically? Babaji is written in Padma Purana 4.103 and Narada Pancharatna 4.223. Smartavya Shatatam Vishnur Vismartavyo Naka Jatuchit Sarve Vidhi Nishedasyur Etayor Eva Kinkara. Always remember Vishnu and never forget him. All the other prohibitions and recommendations are servitors of these two instructions. So, the purpose of all rules and regulations is to focus the mind on Krishna in bhakti. Because that is the essential principle that purifies the consciousness. That's what makes you want to serve Krishna. and puts that attitude of service for Krishna in your heart. The thinking of Krishna, the meditating on Krishna. So that's the goal. So this verse here is going to say that, therefore, just follow two rules. Remember Krishna and don't forget him. Because that's the essence. And all rules must serve those principles. And therefore, there is Niyama Agraha. It's unfavorable for devotional service when we follow rules that do not serve their purpose, which is remember Krishna. Sometimes we'll follow a rule, but it won't help us remember Krishna. We should fast completely on akadasi. But if it just makes us sleep. So, but we also have to be very careful because, for example, rituals are activities that inform the mind towards God. So, there's a purpose for all the rules and the rituals, and we should understand what the purpose is before we make that adjustment on the best way to extract the essence of all those rules. The purport is that the arrangement of all the various kinds of vidhi in the shade within the shastras are based on these two sentences. Duty in the shade is ascertained to be that which makes one constantly remember Bhagavan. And forbidden activities in the shade are those that make one forget him. Remember Bhagavan, Sri Vishnu, constantly throughout the life. This is the basic prescription vidhi. And the arrangements of Varnashram and so on for the maintenance of the jivas are subject to it. So that rule rules everything else. What helps you to remember Krishna? So even though there are so many rules and regulations and we want to establish Varnashram, a practice, social and economic, occupational system, obvious benefits there, but the application of it has to be subjective to what helps one remember Krishna. And when parents are facing trying to train their children in the modern world where the environment is so antithetical to it, and the children by different karmic circumstances, economic situations, whatever, are in that society and influenced by it, and the parents have to be very, very thoughtful how to do what's best to help them remember Krishna. I remember one family, and they were a very cultured family, Indian family, and they're very cultured. And they brought up nice children, and they had two sons. And they were very intelligent, you know, and they inculcated the values. But, you know, their children learn, you know, jazz music, you know, and maybe karate or things like that. They were in the world. They didn't, they looked at the culture, they looked at their children, and they thought what is best to create the positive spirit in them. To be personally happy and remember Krishna. So it's a very fine line. And people who are Krishna conscious, they know that, about this principle. Everything else, such as abandoning sinful activities, avoiding the tendency to avert one's attention from Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukhata, and atoning for sinful activities are all subordinate to this basic vidhi nishade. Therefore, all the rules and prohibitions described in the Shastra are eternal servants of the rule to remember Krishna constantly, and the prohibition is to never forget him. It follows that the regulation to remember Krishna is the fundamental principle among all the regulations of Varnashram and such institutions. So important. That is the overriding principle. And Niyama Agraha. You know, we don't follow rules just for rules' sake. And we don't give up rules simply because they're too difficult. So it takes a thoughtful person. So this quote is from the Bhagavatam, 11.5.2.3, quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to show that the purpose of Vanashram is to remember Krishna. We're just thinking of the second canto. Atapum bhir dvija shreshta vanashrama vibhagasa sanushti tasya dharmasya sam siddhir haritoshana. The perfection is the pleasure of God. That's the goal. And the pleasure of God is what turns your consciousness to Him, which is love and which is participating in His pleasure, which is our duty. So this verse was given. Sri Chamasa said, the Brahmanas come into existence from the mouth of the primordial Sri Vishnu, the Kshatriyas from His arms, the Vaishyas from His thighs, and the Sudras from His feet. These four Varnas were born along with their particular characteristics, as were the four specific ashrams. A person living amongst these Varnas and ashrams becomes intoxicated by his high social position, Varna, and his spiritual position, ashram, and fails to worship his Ishtadev, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, or even disrespects him. Such a person falls down from his position in the system of Varna and Ashram, loses all prestige, and takes birth in the lower species. It's just a reference that the purpose of Varna Ashram is to remember Krishna. Vajanath, why doesn't everyone who follows the rules and regulations of Varna Ashram practice Krishna Bhakti? Babaji, Rupa Goswami explains that all those who follow the regulations of Shastra, only those who have developed faith in bhakti are eligible in bhakti. They are not attracted towards the regulations of material life, nor do they renounce material life. Rather, they follow the ways of ordinary civilized life to maintain their livelihood and at the same time practice sadhana of Shuddha bhakti with faith. A civilized jiva becomes qualified to engage in bhakti as a result of sukriti accumulated in the course of many lives. There are three types of such faithful people: the kanishtha neophyte, the madhyam, the intermediate bhakta, and the uttama, highly exalted bhakta. Yes, he asked, why doesn't people engage in Varnashram, practice bhakti? And the answer is, it's sukriti. There's some previous connection to devotion. No one can take the devotional service, Prabhupada said, paraphrasing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, unless one has a previous connection with it. And it starts with the combination of our experience in the world frustrating us, following the authority of our desires, and looking for some truth higher. And the combination of that willingness and the openness to come in contact with spiritual phenomena, with a little faith or appreciation, or unknowingly and not antagonistically, it creates some sukriti, bhakti prada sukriti, the sukriti that inclines us to bhakti, that gives us bhakti. So, it's only faith in bhakti. It's not our jnana or our karma. It's not our aristocracy or our renunciation. It's those who have this contact and have this faith. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of people perform bhakti. Artha, those who are distressed, jigyasu, the inquisitive, artharthi, those who desire wealth, and jnanis, those who are searching for knowledge of the Absolute. What kind of bhakti are they qualified for? Yeah, it's a sukriti, and therefore Kanishtha is faithful also. He has faith in bhakti and giving Krishna pleasure. It's just not very mature. But it's higher than what's going to be explained before. Chatur vidhava janti mam jana sukritina artha artarti jigyasu gani chabartarshava. That there are four types of people to come to Krishna, but before they come to Krishna, they don't have faith. They get faith by their distress, losing faith in the material world, taking spiritual shelter, their curiosity, their desire to know, their desire for wealth, and therefore approaching God. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita there are four types of people who perform bhakti. Artha, those who are distressed. Jigyasu, whatever that. Babaji, when they associate with saintly sadhus, their distress, their acquisitiveness, their desire for wealth, and the desire for knowledge are removed, and they develop faith in unalloyed devotional service. Then they immediately become qualified for engaging in bhakti. The prominent examples are Gajendra, Shonaka, and other rishis in Naimisharanya, Dhruva, and the four Kumaras, respectively. So, that's, people come for different material reasons. That's not bhakti. I want something for myself. But when they approach bhakti, by some faith, then their faith can develop to the point of wanting to please Krishna, to pure devotional service. Okay, are there any questions? Oh, I have to press the button. 1 second. Anybody like to ask any questions? Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I vote yes. Yeah.
I was just curious, you know, the people who have attained bhava and prema, you know,
yeah,
their activities are controlled by Krishna's internal potency. But those people who are engaged in sadhana, bhakti, although their activities are also pleasing to Krishna because they're trying to please him. It's not his internal potency. So I'm wondering what potency it is by which we are performing sadhana bhakti.
By their desire to serve. It's the nature of the soul to want to serve. And then they have some understanding that they should do so. And of course, in Raganuga Sadhana, then there's some type of devotion. There is some type of energy of Krishna. There is some, but it's not yet the full manifestation of the Samvit Ladini Shakti, the full cognitive potency and the full pleasure potency, and that's what happens at bhava.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, though. What do you call that energy?
I think it's an aspect of bhakti shakti, because it's shraddha, and shraddha or faith. Something does touch one's heart. So it must be some connection with God's potency. It must be it inspires one to serve, but the service is not offering the full bliss potency to God. It's by offering things through the senses. One hasn't actually come yet to that point. So I would say there's some bhakti shakti. It's just not the full ladini sambit shakti, but it's some kind of shakti of God, bhakti shakti. Without that, you know, one won't serve. So there's something that touches one's heart, that gives one faith. It awakens. One way we can look at it, it's the nature of the soul to serve. So in contact with devotional service, the soul's energy to serve becomes awakened. But at Bhava Bhakti, it's not just the soul's energy to serve. Remember, we're consciousness, which reaches its fruition in love. We're Shakti, and Shakti does mean to serve. So even the Jiva Shakti has some desire to serve. It's made that choice to serve, but it's still not the full manifestation of the Lord's internal potency. So it's a Bhakti Shakti. And it's also inherent in our heart, that desire to serve God. But something special happens in Bhava.
Okay.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, anybody like to say hello today? Anybody like to say hello? Okay, we'll end then. Run Chikopa too.